I'm going to say something that really, if I'm being honest, we all can secretly agree with and be okay with saying. Most people are terrible at selling, and only a small set of those people actually get better at selling. If your business doesn't make any money, you don't have a business. You have a very expensive website and domain that you're saying you're the founder of that's not making you any money. Selling is a critical, essential part of any business operations. Selling is the confirmation that what you're bringing to market has value. Selling keeps food on the table. Selling keeps employees employed. Selling empowers you to scale your business beyond what you could even imagine. And yet, so many want to ignore, deny, or believe that they can just do everything else and not confront the act of selling. Have you ever wondered what unicorns eat for breakfast? Okay, to be honest, I don't actually know. But what I do know and what I can tell you, something equally as interesting and unicorn related. Here are the facts. Over 20% of all unicorn startups are using HubSpot. HubSpot's all-in-one platform levels up your sales, your software, and your support so you can grow beyond your wildest dreams. Cue the Taylor Swift reference. Boosting leads and ramping sales along the way. They even have a constantly evolving collection of resources to help startups scale. Plus, with the HubSpot for Startups program, trust me, you can save up to 90% off your first year. To see if you're eligible to save on HubSpot, visit. Now, selling gets a bad rap. Too many people think that selling is all about manipulating vulnerable people. I beg to disagree. On the contrary, I'd say successful selling is altruistic. We check into what people want and give them what they need. We help others. We give people a social connection that's critical for their emotional well-being. Most people don't want to do sales because they're afraid of hearing the word no. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of looking like a fool. Oh, someone said my product wasn't worth the money. Somebody said my service didn't make sense to them. Someone asked me some tough questions I couldn't answer. I'm panicking. I don't know what to do. I'm a failure. In many cases, a definitive rejection is an unwanted revelation that that person you are trying to pitch your business to simply may not be a good fit for you. I hope that just blew some people's minds because that blew my own mind because it took me a long time to figure that out. If someone is rejecting my idea, my business, my service, my product, whatever it is that I'm offering, it may not necessarily be a reflection on the quality or the value of the product or the service that I'm offering. It could be simply a reflection of the person who's listening. I'm not. My product, my service, my business is not a good fit for them. It's not the right time. Maybe I'm too expensive. Maybe they don't have the cash flow. Maybe they don't have the need. Or maybe they lack the understanding and what I bring to the table. And you know what? That is okay. That is okay. I would rather know that someone clearly, definitively says no. They will not pay for my product. They will not pay for my service. They will not use my business. Instead of being in this loop of nurturing emails, check-ins, all these different sub-workflows, that's wasting salespeople's time, marketers' time, and my time. I get a clear no, I'm out. You know what I do, you know what I offer. Maybe you'll circle back around, but on your time. I'm not going to nurture folk to a pulp in the hopes that they are going to simply turn around and convert to being a buyer. Not everybody will be a buyer. Not everybody will love your product. Not everyone will understand how you fit into the marketplace. And that is okay. You have to be comfortable with folk not being comfortable with what you're offering, not caring about what you're selling, and don't want to hear about what you're doing. That's step one.
What's up, digital world? You're listening to the I Digress audio experience with Troy Sanders. Social media, marketing, storytelling, business, culture, and more. Coming to you in 3, 2, 1.
Back in 2015, I made a tweet about a philosophy that I had that helped me visually understand how to maintain, grow, and scale a business. And it went, imagination is the engine, content is the fuel, social media is the highway, marketing is the roadmap, sales is the destination, culture is the GPS. Now let's circle back. Sales is the destination. Why did I say that? Because if you don't know that money is the end goal, money is what you need to do to sustain yourself, to accelerate your growth, to pursue all these dreams, all these different bigger visions that you put on this idea that you converted into a business that you're trying to do now. Sales is what's going to fuel all of it. And without it, you have nothing. Sales is the destination. Now, fast forward, in 2020, I took that principle and expanded on it for 2.5 years to write a book called Strategize Up, with that same philosophy formula as the key chapters of my book. Spoiler alert. And so, for those who are actually interested, or for those who have actually read my book, which you can get at strategizeupbook.com, I still find that in today, people still struggle with sales. And one of the biggest things I talk through the book that I convey is understanding we have to stop being afraid of selling. We have to get comfortable and understand that selling isn't a manipulative thing. The act of selling and doing it properly is actually a quite beautiful thing. There's an artistry to it. There is a majestic flow to it because you're not trying to manipulate someone to buy. You're trying to connect the idea that you have to a need, to a problem, or a desired solution of someone else who sees the value and can pay a price that feels reasonable for both parties, that you provide that solution, that you eliminate that problem, that you pass on this technology or this product or whatever the deliverable is, that's going to give this person, the receiving person, peace of mind, that something is going to happen, that something is going to change by having this relationship, by paying for what you're offering. And the fact that you're in the market now and you're giving this to them, for them to now know and identify, I don't have to stay in this place. I can use your product. I can use your service. I can use your technology. I can use your deliverable to make my business, to make my operations, my marketing, whatever the XYZ is, better, more efficient, more profitable, all thanks to me paying for what you offer. And what a glorious opportunity that is. Now, when you frame it that way, I'm not afraid to sell. I'm inspired to sell. I actually want to tell as many people as I can, this is what I offer. And if you have the ability to pay, here's what you're going to get in this amount of time. I have these reviews. These people, these businesses have used what I've done. I've spoken here. I've written this book. I've done this. I have all the social proof and credibility. I have the passion. I have the know-how. And my deliverable, my service, my business was built for your problem. It was literally built to solve your problem or to provide this particular solution that no one else that you've reached out to, that you've been doing Google searches for, YouTube searches for, trying to figure out yourself, couldn't give you. But now that we've had this moment, here's what I'm offering you. And it's all meant to help you. And just for a small investment, you can have it. And let's see it work for you. Now, the goal is the investment that they make in paying for whatever it is that you're offering is going to help them make more than what they paid you to make them more profit, whether that's a one-time thing, a monthly thing, a yearly thing, or as-needed thing. But here's why I am, to help you. And so either you're going to be a buyer, an advocate, or an elevator. But there are no losses in this game. Selling is about relationships, but selling is also about what a glorious opportunity it is to tell someone else in need, in pain, I have the Tylenol for your pain. I have the chocolate cake that's going to give you happiness and joy. I have the deliverable that's going to break past those ceilings you couldn't get through before. Now, all you have to do is visualize getting to the other side using what I'm offering you, aligning that with your emotions and justifying paying for it with logic. Now, the dance we have to make is using our words, our energy, our passion, knowing enough about the pain, knowing about what the vision looks like on the other side, the joy, knowing what they may have resistance to, and finding a compromise that addresses their resistance, that enhances their emotional experience, that captures their passion, and drives them to say yes, to get out their pocketbooks, send that money. So we can now do what we've been built to do to help them go to the next level. And that's sales. But see, we get stuck on the rejection. We get stuck on, what if they say no? What if they don't say no? We don't know that. And guess what? Even if they do say no, you think you're the only person on this planet? I need to be validated by every single person that I pitch to say yes to me, for me to have value, for my business to feel like it's a real business? Have y'all ever looked at the percentage when it comes to baseball, from an ERA to hitting percentage? Like, if you compare for the average and you look at it for the real number, it's really, really, really low percentages. But when you compare it to the average, you're actually going to be really high. So if my percentages suggest that only 25% of folk are actually going to say yes to me, that's actually really high when you compare it to the average. And then if you have a higher price point or a higher commitment, the percentages, technically speaking, are going to be lower. However, if I have a 5% conversion rate that's helping me make a 7-figure, 8-figure, or not even that high, a 5-figure side hustle or 6-figure sustainable business operations, then that's fine. I need to make sure the percentages line up for me. I don't need every single person that comes into the plate I get a strikeout for, or vice versa, I hit a home run off of. It's about the percentages, the volume of people, the volume of businesses or opportunities or proposals sent throughout the year. If it hits a certain percentage, I'm good. If it hits a little bit lower, I might be worried. If it hits a little bit higher, I'm ecstatic. We have to understand our percentages when it comes to sales, not just about one-to-one ratio. Now, that doesn't mean we don't treat one-to-one ratio as if they are the only person on this planet for that moment and we give them everything that we have. But know that even in that intentionalism of energy and focus and presentation and conversation and pitching, 95% of that should be almost muscle memory. Should be a strategy and a plan and infrastructure and a specific approach to it based off of history and time, demand and need and price point. That's how you should look at your sales. That's how you should move with intentionalism. I'm going to give you my best, but most of it's already done for me. I didn't have the same pitch to the same problem. You know, those FAQs, people who ask you the same question when it comes to your sales conversation. At a certain point, you should have a really good answer to minimize the resistance from that question to keep things on track to get the sale. If you aren't improving in your sales dialogue and you're just using the same rubric from your website, your same rubric from the idea that you have and have it modified and just based off of time and percentages, then you need to shift and modify how you sell. It's not about reading a script necessarily. It's really about having an outline and making sure that you check mark off everything off that outline to get to the bag. And here's the thing. Sales doesn't stop when you get the bag. It starts when you get the bag. What do you mean by that? What I mean is that who's to say that one bag is all the potential they can give you? Don't you know it's easier to get more money from existing clients than it is from new clients? 9 times out of 10, the one bag is the commitment that they got money, that they understand my value, and they were willing to take a risk, and hopefully we deliver. And then if we do deliver, we maintain that relationship in the hopes that they can even be an expanded buyer, or they can be a direct referral that eliminates some of the resistance in the sales process and cycle from time to conversations so I can get more profit faster. That means the people who already are buying from me are the perfect people to help me grow even the more. You see, sometimes we want to go and do how many one-on-ones new people have we talked to by day, every single day? Now, how many of the percentage of your current ecosystem of buyers have you interacted with in this last month, in this last quarter, in this year alone? Do you know how they're doing? Do you know that the product or service offer that you are giving them or that you gave them is still working in their favor and to their benefit? Are they still in a good, positive way about our experience? And can that be remodified or initialized in a different path that's going to help you grow more money? Now, the thing is, people see that as manipulative, and it is not. Most cases, that's good business. Most cases, it's all about if you don't ask, you don't get anything. But if you do ask, you could get something. Strategically, when you get the money, that is the start of the process. More money could be made in various other directions. I'd rather be in a state where I could get something than never ask and get nothing.
Talking Too Loud, hosted by Chris Savage, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On this podcast, Chris Savage Wistia CEO and aka the loudest talker ever, takes you inside the minds of entrepreneurs as they share the hilarious, informative, and most challenging aspects of building more human brands. What does it mean to build more human brands? How do you formulate that? How do you construct that? And how do you tell the world about it? Well, I don't know. You should go check out Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage wherever you get your podcasts.
The one thing I want to say when you're approaching sales is don't invalidate your progress just because you're taking a little bit longer than maybe someone else to reach your goal. Understand you're climbing a very unique mountain that's specifically for you. So celebrate each step you take forward. Oh, I got 50 no's this month. But last month I only got 20. That means I took more risks. I had the chance to have more conversations about my product or service than I did last month. Basically double. That's great. What can I learn from that? Now, my goal now, from 25 no's to 50 no's, how do I get more yeses? What have I learned in that 2-month period that I can bring to month 3? We have to learn how to shift perspective intentionally. Sometimes it's good to look at it from a very negative or playing the devil's advocate side of things when things are going really well to ensure it's sustainable. Then other times it's good to look at things from a positive lens, even when things might be hard, especially when we look at things from percentages and not just the actual totality of volume of output and energy given out. Because the numbers and the data and the history and the projections all matter, and giving a full sub-layer stack of content, a full layer stack of understanding where we at and where we're trying to go. I'm a big person of alliteration. You know that in many ways I use alliteration and mnemonics to help me remember, to be memorable, but also have the life lessons, the strategies, the substance, the marketing growth, all those things be memorable for you as well. Listen, you want to create clear and compelling, candid conversations full of compassion and conviction to connect, to confirm, and to command the customers to complete the call to action to make the volume of transactions necessary for your business to create the life that you want to live. Sales, the art of selling, the act of selling, the ability to make selling work for your business requires a very particular thing. The number one tool in your arsenal when it comes to sales is confidence. Confidence that you know what you are talking about. Confidence that you can help your consumer solve a problem. Confidence that you can help the buyer achieve their goal. Confidence that can never be diminished by the thought of failing or hearing the word no. Listen, you need to have so much confidence and probably a ton of conviction in the thing that you're selling that you can do it without any additional help because you believe it that much. That you almost look a little crazy because your confidence is so high, that you have so much conviction in what it is that you're trying to do, that your offering from your business is the key to unlocking this next level that they couldn't reach out otherwise. You see, when your conviction is stronger than the fears and doubts that you had on a sales call, I don't know if y'all remember this, there's an episode I talked about Aladdin. They will take your hand like Jasmine took Aladdin's hand and begin to sing A Whole New World because, honey, we about to go to a whole new world with this product or service offering that I'm about to give you. Sign that proposal and let's go. Let's teleport. There's more to see. There's more to know. There's more to grow than we can even imagine. All because the confidence and the conviction compelled me to really look at what you were doing, to hear what you were saying, and visualize what's possible. Even if I don't have all of the confirmations in place, even if I don't have all the validations, for some reason I feel compelled to trust you, which maybe can supersede logic. But with logic and emotion tied together in the right mannerism of ways, you can get more sales. You see, you are not just offering a solution or serving as the Tylenol to a problem. You are presenting an opportunity that's going to change their world. No matter how small the problem that you solve, in perpetuity, it all adds up to the overall quality of their business, to the overall quality of their life. And you played a big or small part in the improvement, in the streamline, in making it more efficient. Whatever your business is, whatever your product or service that you sell, whatever experience that you provide and offer, just remember, to them, ultimately, you're offering them a whole new world. Back in episode 31, I expressed how Aladdin gave us the formula to sell better. So go check out that episode if you like where this is going. You see, there's a ton of gems in past episodes that I've left that are the building blocks of what we're talking about. You know, selling is very uncomfortable. And if I could be vulnerable for a moment, it's even hard for me at this point, because the thing is, I'm looking at where I'm trying to go. I'm not looking at where I was, what I've achieved to this point. And sometimes, like, Troy, you're still struggling in sales. You have a book, you got a successful podcast, you're award-winning this, you're award-winning that. You work with these people over here and over there. That's great. I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for that. But you don't see where I'm trying to go. You don't know the number I'm trying to reach. You don't know the milestones I have for myself. And therefore, with all those things in mind, I have to look at how I'm selling. There's been a few times in my life with my business, I had to raise prices. And you know, that gave me so much anxiety. I didn't know what I was going to do. Will the existing clients, will they stay? Have I maxed out the value per the amount of money they're willing to pay for what I'm offering? Will there be resistance? Will I have to find all new clients? Do I need to position my business a different way in a different market to talk to different people? Is the way that I'm even positioning my very self even landing for those next level of people I'm trying to attract? I don't know. It's a series of trial and error. But I do know this, as I've expressed in episode 33, as long as you solve a big enough pain point or you help people achieve a big enough joy point, there's going to be a demand somewhere to pay you exactly what you want to do, exactly it is that you do, that you offer to people consistently, that will sustain you, that you can scale and grow to heights unknown to you. But it's the middle process of finding the pain point that's big enough, with a big enough demand, with a big enough audience that consistently have enough money, cash flow ready to pay you, and you're in a position that separates you from any and all other competitors that will compel them to not choose them and choose you, is the hard part. That's where we fail. That's where we don't succeed. That's where we lose our mojo and go down instead of rising up. We have to constantly check in with our ideal buyer, which may not be the same buyer who bought from us previously. I want to make that very clear. And if we have identified that our current existing business model, based off our current clients and audience and customers, is not ideal within the next 6 to 12 months, we got to make some shifts. That means we have to update the scripts that we use when we're selling, how we're positioning. And that gives us anxiety. That can make us nervous because we get used to a system that works. Now you mean to tell me I got to change my system? Yeah, the game changes every day. As I said in episode 34, optimize your customer journey. Rebuild your marketing and sales for sustainable business growth. Stop marketing for fans. Start marketing for money. And when I talked about in episode 36, are you tired of knocking at the door of opportunities waiting for something to open? We have to knock with intentionalism. And know that when we knock and that person opens, we are going to give them the best show we possibly can in the hopes that they trust us enough to give us their money. In the hopes that we can earn their business. Not just one time, but many times. The act of asking someone, are you in pain? And is the pain strong enough that you want a solution, that you want to be at peace, that you want it to be resolved, that you want it to vanquish? And they say, yeah. Guess what? Most people are going to say yes. They don't like to be in pain. They don't like to suffer. No one does. So we know we got that far. Now, can we convince them that what we're offering not only can eliminate that pain, but is worth the money? And three, it's going to help eliminate their specific pain to them. We've all had headaches, but there's a variety of reasons why we may get a headache. And there's a variety of solutions to amend a headache. But is your particular solution going to fix my headache so I can be at peace, so I can be at rest? So that's one less thing I have to worry about. That's what you got to figure out constantly. But understand that the process of selling as we evolve and modify and grow is an opportunity. And that rejection, I welcome it. Thank you. Possibly ask them, hey, you can follow me on social. And if something comes up later, cool. Way back, my early episodes, I believe it was episode 2, Buyer's Advocates and Elevators. Bay. Big thing I talked about earlier in this podcast that I still talk about a lot. It's mentioned in my book. Something so simple. Something so simple. People think it's crazy. That won't work. And it does. Either you're going to be a buyer, you're going to be an advocate, or you're going to be an elevator. An elevator can become an advocate can become a buyer, a buyer could be all three. But in that structure, that gives me comfort going to sales conversations. Either I want to know in the first 5 to 10 minutes, you're going to be a buyer. If not, I'm going to pivot. Can you be an advocate? Can you be a referral source for me? Maybe you don't want to because you don't know me yet. That's cool. Can you be an elevator? Can you simply just subscribe to my channel? Can you listen to a podcast episode of mine? Can you follow me on social? Cool. That means I don't have no pressure. I'm not going to take an L. You're either going to fit one of these three buckets, and each one of them can be an upsell. I ain't worried. When I'm going to sell, it's going to give me the opportunity to learn how to sell better each and every time. I'm going to get information consistently in real time, whether my pitch is not relevant anymore, my opportunity, my business isn't relevant anymore, or I need to modify to adjust to a new market I was completely ignorant of. So that means I'm going to get information to modify and adjust my data pools. See, when we look at sales from that lens, I'm excited, not only for the conversation to actually make money, but the conversation to learn, is what I'm doing still marketable? Is it still valuable? And to the level of money I want to make? Or are they going to show me some new opportunities I slept on that I need to probably think about and make shifts on? If I can go to a weather person and they can tell me, hey, the forecast is going to call for that thunderstorm is going to come a few days earlier than what I thought, I can make adjustments accordingly for that thunderstorm. A sales conversation is that, a conversation. And just as much as I'm pitching my business, I'm also listening to what other people's needs are, demands, and what the market would be willing to pay for it. If what I'm solving for isn't what their pain point is, how about you tell me what your pain point is? I may not have a solution right now, but I'm noting it. Or another way to make money, I know somebody else who can solve that problem for you. I make the connection, I get a commission. They still remember that I was the one who brought that solution to them. And maybe down the road, they still want to do business with me. With these shifts in your mindset and how you approach, you're going to be able to survive and thrive. When you come at it from a perspective of weakness and fear of rejection, it's going to create this aura about yourself that they're not going to want to listen. They're not even going to expand the conversation. They're going to close that conversation so fast, you're going to blink and it'll be over. So when it comes to sales and positioning yourself, focus on the opportunity of what could be, not only for us into selling, but also into learning and pivoting accordingly.
And that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Digress. What was your takeaway? Care to share your thoughts and tag Troy on social media? You can find him on all platforms at Find Troy. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review or comment for this episode from wherever you're listening. Looking for a marketing strategist to build the structure, strategies, and systems you need to get the success you want and the ROI you desire in your business? Book a discovery call to talk with Troy at findtroy.com. And as Troy's philosophy goes, imagination is the engine, content is the fuel, social media is the highway, marketing is the roadmap, sales is the destination, culture is the GPS. Thanks for listening.